what I love about this idea of propinquity is absolutely it's a tool that leaders can apply and top down, you know, drive that point of view into the organization. I care about people of this company, and I'm going to find a way for you to have better relationships with each other. It can absolutely happen. But it can also work the exact opposite way. I could just be someone who loves what I do and want to make the time I spend at work more meaningful. And if I want to make that time more meaningful and develop better relationships with the people I work with, I can do this for myself. I can make sure that I find ways to more frequently connect with the people that I most closely align in a belief system with at work, and find ways to be physically engaged with them more often, or just more aligned with how they think.
Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham, and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true quantum leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less drama and stress. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today, I am excited to share this guest with you because he's going to bring a really unique perspective that is really in line with the Create Magic at Work community for advocating for healthy leaders and healthy workplaces. Today's guest is Christopher Good. Christopher is the Chief Creative Officer at One Workplace, the West Coast leader in workplace design solutions. This is so cool that we're talking about this. Workplace design solutions. He is also the founder of Plus One, an empathic work culture consulting practice focused on shaping organizational beliefs and behaviors. Chris believes in the power of design to do good things for other people, and his work is devoted to changing the way we think about and shape the human experience. He is a frequent speaker and presenter at events across the country, leading active workshops teaching the power and influence of design. An award-winning interior designer and artist, Chris has worked with the IDEO, you'll have to correct me if I said that wrong, as a build partner for the Teachers Guild, Michelle Obama's Better Make Room campaign, and with the Unreasonable Groups Project Literacy Lab, a business accelerator geared towards high growth global entrepreneurs. So excited to have you on Create Magic at Work, Chris. Can't wait to dive into everything workplace design and more. Welcome to the show.
Amy, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Is there anything that I missed in sharing your bio that you want to add?
No, I'm listening to that story. I'm like, who is that guy? He sounds very interesting. It's not often I get to hear it pitched back to me, and no, that covers it.
I know, it is so weird when you hear someone reading like your story. You're like, yeah, who is that? You know what came up for me when I was reading your bio is I get like, you know, these hits or whatever. And I started thinking of, or what hit me was the picture of that workplace meme that comes across my Instagram every now and again that makes fun of companies' job postings that say, come work in this dynamic, exciting environment, fast. And then they show, they're joking, and they show like the picture of the cubicle.
Yeah. Like, here's underneath the work
it, like, yeah, like here's this dynamic, come work with us. But really, when you get behind the scenes, it's a cubicle, right?
The cubicle is making a comeback, so we have to be careful not to knock it too much.
Yeah, right. I mean,
old things are new again.
Well, maybe we can talk about that. So first off, I'm super curious as to how you even got into this. You're an interior designer. Did it start off in the workplace? How did you get into this work?
Great story. Yes, my background is as an interior designer, and I found my path there by being an artist and getting into art school, and then suddenly realizing I had a passion for architecture and design. Found my way into interior design, and almost immediately, once I began working in that world, discovered that almost all of my work was aimed at shaping how people work every single day. It just so happened that my clients at the time were all in corporate workplace. And I was spending my entire learning experience of becoming a worker in the work world while helping others shape what those work environments looked like. And that became my career and eventually led to roles where I was working very closely with workplace strategists, HR teams, and eventually realized I was doing a lot less physical design of places and a lot more strategic design of how people actually come to work. And that was an unexpected transition for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be real with you. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, like this is amazing that this even exists. I came from like the nitty gritty, like retail world. I used to operate 90 telecom retail locations across the state of California. And we never had somebody even considering the way someone was coming to work or what their work environment looked like. And so just the fact that we're talking about this feels big for me in particular, just from the world that I came from. So can you share a little bit more about your insights in how it turned from you designing the space to looking at how people are arriving to the space?
Sure. And yeah, is a story I often tell is that at some point in my career, something I realized was that shaping really meaningful and beautiful work environments, while it creates beautiful places that can be incredibly inspiring when we spend time in them, was really trying to make change from only one direction. And that if we really wanted to try to really truly influence how their day at work truly happens, the experiences they have with others, the engagements they have with their peers, engagements they have with their superiors, the engagements they have with their customers. Yeah, you need to do more than just create a really great place for that to happen. You need to actually influence the activities that happen there, influence why those folks are inspired to be there. And that comes from an entirely different side of an organization that I wasn't touching at the time. Mm-hmm. And that led us at our organization to step back and say, if we really want to be a workplace strategy company and a workplace integration company, we need to do more than just build the physical place and provide the technology and provide the physical environment and the furniture and all the things. We needed to help influence the entire experience. And if we were going to do that, we perhaps needed to have essentially a new way to get in that potentially worked with very different customers, working with HR teams and executive leaders, as opposed to just heads of real estate or heads of facilities. And we did that, or we made that decision in December 2019. Like, this is a really great idea. We should help organizations do this from both sides. We had just gone through some cultural change ourselves in our own organization, changing the way we worked. And we thought we could take those learnings and we could apply them to others, especially as right at that moment, this idea of what we'll now all call hybrid work was starting to just kind of surface up. We were giving people more autonomy to work from home, to get away from the long commutes. And it was honestly a bit of a challenge. I know in our own company, we said, all right, everyone, we want you to work from home one day a week. And folks are like, you're crazy. I'm not doing that. I'm coming to work anyways. And I'm going to be mad that I don't have a desk that because we don't all fit, you know, but I'm going to come anyways. And then, of course, March 2020 happens and the whole world changes. And all of that gets flipped upside down. And now it's not a question of, might I be allowed to come stay home one day? But it's, oh my God, can I actually drag you to come in to the office one day? And we launched this business practice of helping organizations shape that work experience right in that moment, and unexpectedly found ourselves doing work that we never, ever thought we'd find ourselves doing. One really interesting case in point there is our core business is about physical workplace. We make and build and deliver physical places to work, the technology in them, the furniture in them. Our first major customer in that new practice was a company that had made the decision right there in the pandemic, we're going to become a 100% remote company. We are going to abandon our headquarters. We're going to distribute our people across the country, and we're just going to do remote work. We don't know how to do that, so help us. And sort of blew our minds. Like, this was not the work we expected ourselves to be doing, but we're so excited to then be doing it.
Yeah. And so on that journey, you talk about, I mean, you can rephrase my words if I'm saying this wrong, but you talk about how you discovered the power of propinquity. So it's not just these items that are placed in a certain way in the workspace, but how do we prioritize connecting people to each other and to what matters most? And this pandemic that came about really sparked that for you. And you seem like you were in the space and in the position, and you were the one that needed to step into that work, right? Like, it's almost like the universe poised you for that. So can you tell everybody about that? Why is this a game changer in the workplace?
What's kind of funny, and you're talking about these kind of serendipitous moments where the universe speaks to you. In those early days where we were thinking about building that practice to help organizations shape their approach to employee experience and workplace experience, we were working with a couple of organizations that were trying to adopt, again, what today we call hybrid work. And at that time, we didn't even have those words for it. And I was thinking about some challenges I had experienced in my past. And it was such a hard thing to solve for. Like, how do you help people want to be inspired to think differently about their relationship to the place they go to work every single day? If we could all remember back this far, there was a time when we came to work every single day, that place that we sat at, that had our nameplate on it, that was ours, told a story about how that company valued me. If I had a really great space by the window, I was really, really valued by the company. And if I had a really dark spot with no windows and that was in the corner basement of the building, you know, maybe I didn't feel as appreciated. So that physical connection to that place I had that was mine was so, so important to us. And then organizations like, let's change that. Let's go to hot desking or flexible work environments or distributed work. And we had to give something else back. What are we going to give them? And so it was, well, we're going to give you the flexibility to choose where you want to work. And we're going to give you the autonomy to choose when and where you want to work in those places. And we were trying to help companies create policies and approaches and practices around that way of thinking. And I was driving in my car one morning, my amazing Bay Area commute of, you know, 2 hours sitting in traffic. And there was a story on NPR on the radio. And I heard someone say that word, propinquity. I'm like, what is that? What is that word? It's the most amazing word I've ever heard. I can't even say it. And they're telling the story of the role it plays in shaping our human connections with each other. And I immediately was like, I have to know more about this. And I get to the office and I start trying to research everything I can find about it. And ultimately, over the course of time, what we discovered is that there's this really awesome story behind what it stands for. And what it actually represents is the way that we as people form relationships with the people who are most physically close to us. And through that work, we identified that there's actually three very simple things you can affect to shape that work with others. You can shape how close you physically are. And that now, of course, we're also thinking how close you virtually feel. So your physical and virtual sense of proximity is a big mm-hmm. piece of it. How often you connect with those folks. The frequency in which those engagements happen. And then the shared beliefs and values you have with those individuals. So the affinities you share with the people that you work with. And so if you want to really make a meaningful work experience, you have these three tools at your disposal. You can affect how close people feel or in fact physically are. You can affect how often they connect. And you can affect their alignment on a set of beliefs or values or mission or vision. And when we have all three of those things going for us, the odds that we're going to develop really tight personal connections increases dramatically. So let's use that to our advantage, especially in this time when we can't all be physically together like we used to.
Yeah. So how could a leader use that to their advantage? How could a leader use propinquity to their advantage? Yeah. How, you know, I'm thinking of some spaces that maybe some listeners are working in where it's like, just show up, get the job done, go home.
They have to want to. And to your point about show up, get your job done, go home. If that is the culture of an organization and that's what's being espoused from the top, that's what's going to be believed by the people who are there. And they'll probably show up and they'll probably get their job done. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And the odds that they'll form really tight connections or develop a loyalty to the organization or an alignment to its mission and be willing to contribute at a degree that asks something of them that's above and beyond what they might just give off the surface, those odds aren't that great. But if an organization and its leaders do believe that those relationships we form with each other are important to attracting and retaining talent, or just creating a really meaningful why behind why I'm going to spend all this time of my life giving it to somebody else, this company, or this organization, or this mission. If I'm going to inspire them to do that and to really form, you know, a deep appreciation of it and want to be there, then maybe I should actually do something with it, or I should find a way to make that experience as meaningful as possible. And this, you know, propinquity specifically is just a great framework that they can apply, but they have to first want to.
Yeah. And that's where I'm sitting here thinking, if you're someone that is seeking a deeper sense of meaning in life or wanting to do work for the greater good, what's coming up for me in having this conversation with you, Chris, is maybe start to look around for a place to work that helps facilitate that a little bit more. Maybe an organization that works with someone like Chris and his company to have human connection and to have proximity, frequency, and affinity, right? In a good way. If you're a leader that really is passionate about something like this, you know, somebody that wants to make wise and compassionate decisions that ripple out for the greater good, then I think the payoff is retention, right?
For sure.
The engaged employee. And let's take it a step further into that quantum leader space, where you can become a quantum leader because you're creating these spaces that foster innovation and creativity. And so then that gives you this healthy competitive edge against your competition by 21%, some would say, the data shows, right? So I struggle with this, and I wonder what your take is on it. Do you think that organizations that don't embrace practices like this will survive long term? What's your take on that?
You know, you're reminding me of a stat that I cannot remember the numbers of, but and I'll totally butcher it here, but most organizations don't last very long anyways. I mean, the longevity of businesses in the United States, it's, if I'm getting it right, it's like 14, 15 years for most corporations. They don't last. And among those that do, a couple things happen. Either they find a customer base that's incredibly loyal, they have a process or approach or a product that is very impactful or meaningful, or they have people who adapt and grow and innovate and change and keep that company alive. But something I think is interesting here, and I thought of it as you were talking earlier about, you know, just this point about leaders. What I love about this idea of propinquity is absolutely it's a tool that leaders can apply and top down, you know, drive that point of view into the organization that I care about people of this company, and I'm going to find a way for you to have better relationships with each other. Can absolutely happen. But it can also work the exact opposite way. I could just be someone who loves what I do and want to make the time I spend at work more meaningful. And if I want to make that time more meaningful and develop better relationships with the people I work with, I can do this for myself. I can make sure that I find ways to more frequently connect with the people that I most closely align in a belief system with at work, and find ways to be physically engaged with them more often, or just more aligned with how they think. And I can use these tools for myself, because nobody should have to feel when they spend all of this time every day at work that this is just something that's being sucked out of them and they get nothing back in return other than, you know, an income and the extrinsic things that we get from working. We should all get that intrinsic value of just feeling like, man, I contributed something today. I did it with really great people and I can't wait to do it again tomorrow. I know our world's kind of hyper cynical and most of us go like, yeah. But I think most of us really would love to have that. And I think we forget that a lot of it really is in our own control.
Mm-hmm. So good. Such a good reminder. Like, what really is within our control? Because you just kind of, what came up for me when you were sharing that is leadership is not hierarchical. And if you're seeking a deeper sense of meaning, or if you're often what you're seeking is what maybe you should start giving and stop waiting for someone to give you permission to do this meaningful connection activity or, you know, whatever you're looking for with that deeper sense of meaning and work, and just maybe take a micro step or a small step in offering that. I remember a time where there's so many different experiences I've been through in the workplace, but, you know, some organizations will embrace, like, let's say this proximity idea from a virtual standpoint, a geographic standpoint, and then someone that's not really fully equipped with emotional intelligence or something will be calling around during, hey, you doing okay? Okay, cool. Thanks. Bye. I'm just doing my check-ins, you know? Okay, great. Let me call my next person on my list. You doing okay? Everything good? Good, good. Okay, great. You know, at one point I even had, I don't know if I've ever shared this, but I had my annual review given to me by phone at like a spur of the moment phone call for like 5 minutes. Like, yeah, you got this. Yeah, you just sign it, turn it in because we got to get it to HR. You know, oh, okay, great. Thanks, you know? So all of these experiences, whatever you're going through that are listening to Chris and I having this conversation, it's like, let's think of those and think of what we really needed in that moment. And then let's take a step to maybe offer that to someone else and see how that energy sort of percolates throughout the situation. That's kind of what's coming up for me right now. On that note, what is your vision for the future of work and the future of the workplace?
Ooh, that's interesting. I think I would love for a couple of things to happen as a generation think about the work that we're facing today and into tomorrow. And one component goes back to what I said a little while ago, the idea that the work we perform is something that takes away from us and doesn't give us something back. I would love for all of us to find a way to reset that. And I think this point in time offers us, probably more so than any other point in time in the past of modern work history, the opportunity for all of us to do that. There are learnings from the gig economy that teach all of us that we have a bit of control over how we show up and how we want to show up and what we want that work experience to mean to us and for us, both in terms of time and commitment and flexibility and autonomy. And so we don't have to take for granted that work has to be this thing that is just this burden. I also believe that the world needs of us now more than ever for us to show up that way. So much is changing. I mean, even with just AI right now and what that means for people in knowledge work positions, there's a lot of industries that are potentially at risk of, I won't say going away, but disruptive change. Mm-hmm. Which means things I used to do, or even the things you and I are talking about right now, might be completely turned upside down in a very short period of time. But when that kind of disruption happens, every one of us has the ability to step into that moment and to start shaping and poking and directing where it goes. So I'd love for all of us to be the pokers and the shapers, as opposed to being the ones who get poked and shaped. And that's a choice. That's a choice we make right now. So I suppose I'd like to see a workplace that is more inclusive, more meaningful, more connected to our own individual senses of why, and work that gives us back something more meaningful than we have had before. And with all the tools and things that are being available to us now, that maybe take some of the rote work away that we shouldn't have to spend our time doing. I really don't want to ever have to spend my life doing Excel timesheets ever again or spreadsheets again. And I might not have to very soon. I can just tell the spreadsheet to make it for me. And look, there it is. Now I can just take the data and go do something good with it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That felt really good, not having to do Excel spreadsheets anymore. Thank you for putting that attention out for all of us. Yeah, thank you. Gosh, that was a really beautiful way. One thing I want to add to what you just shared is, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm seeing a lot of my former colleagues as we're pacing, and we're kind of around similar age, we're Gen X, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are getting into hitting the top of their, if we're looking at hierarchical leadership, which I was saying we should throw out, they're getting into these spaces where they're where they're getting into C-suite, right? Or higher level positions. And even if you're listening and you're in Gen Z or a millennial or whatever age you're at, what came up for me when Chris was sharing is, let's not do things the way they've been done before. Just because you were given a leadership title or promoted into a role does not mean you have to do what someone did before or what they thought that role looked like. Now is your chance to embrace that number one spot, if that's where you landed. And life is so short that now is your time to do something different. And I think, Chris, you really embody that with all of this that you're doing, with having everybody like strategically think about how people are coming to work, the human connection behind it and how impactful that is, how that impacts our bottom line and really our soul, right? So we don't feel like we're going, people say their job is soul crushing for a reason. They use that language for a reason, right? And recognizing that there are better ways we can do things where it's a win-win, where my soul doesn't have to be crushed so we can be profitable. So I just want to thank you for sparking that conversation and bringing a lot of that to light. I'm going to pull a card for everyone. Yay. From the Create Magic at Work journal prompt card deck. It's a deck of 33 cards for your work and for your career. And we're going to get a message today for Chris and for everyone listening.
Putting out good vibes. See what kind of card we get here.
My gosh. I do this every episode and people are probably so annoyed with me saying, oh my gosh, every time. But it, like, you can't make up what you get. And we haven't gotten this in so long. So we got Making a Difference. And there's a beautiful illustration of, you know, just like the water rippling out from like a little, is that a lily pad? Yeah, lily pad. I have an illustrator that does these. So Making a Difference is the theme today. And if you're listening, your affirmation is, each day I send a ripple effect into the world and that is enough. Each day I send a ripple effect into the world and that is enough. Chris, wisdom, insights, advice for the listeners. What are some recommendations for us today to send a ripple effect into the world?
I think if you want to, I see this as having two sides. You can both be the one sending the ripple and you can be the one receiving it. Mm. And I think we have to open to both of those. And if we're going to be thinking about work and we're going to be thinking about propinquity, I think the idea that we have the ability to make someone else's day better, someone else's work life more meaningful, and that the actions we have by showing up and being close to them and engaging as often as we can and celebrating the things that they love and believe in. If we use propinquity in that way and we send those vibes out into the world, I think that we get to send those really wonderful, beautiful, positive ripples that move them along on their journey. And just be receptive to the fact that you've got probably many, many, many amazing people around you sending those your way too. And openly receive them. Ride those waves and take them where they take you.
Love that. Look for the ripples that are coming towards you. Because often we close ourselves off being so busy, we might not recognize those beautiful little magic winks that we get throughout the day.
Don't stand against them. Let them come and see where they take you.
Yeah. And if you feel like you haven't seen one in a while, just take a breath and keep an eye out after this conversation with Chris and I, because we're definitely sending some magic to you, Chris.
We're sending them all out around us.
Yeah.
All real estate.
If someone was inspired by you and our conversation, how can people connect with you more? How can they learn more about your work and what you do? How can they reach out to you?
Well, if you're interested in our culture work, helping shape organizations and this idea of propinquity, you can find us at oneculture.works, oneculture.works. And if you are interested in shaping your physical workplace, you can find us at oneworkplace.com. That's O-N-E, I'm not going to spell workplace.com.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we'll have it in the show notes. And if you're listening to this right when the episode came out, it's going to be all over the Create Magic at Work newsletter and the theme of the week So yeah, take a look at your workplace. And if you want to elevate it, reach out to Chris. Chris, thank you so much for being a guest on Create Magic at Work and sharing your insights with all the listeners and the community. We really appreciate it.
Amy, thank you so much. I loved being here. And I'm going to go spend the rest of my day being open to all those ripples coming my way.
Yes, me too. Me too. Thank you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming back every week to listen to a new episode of Create Magic at Work and really helping to support and advocate for healthy leaders, workplaces, and lives for all of us. If you want any information on how to connect with me, click on the link in the show notes. You'll get access to all of the social media links for Create Magic at Work. Stay following along for more amazing episodes where we help you improve productivity and profitability in the workplace and decrease stress. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.